It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Happy Tuesday. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. And it is a game day, which means it's Optimum Game Day Live. Red Raider Baseball taking on UTRGV, the Vaqueros, tonight. 6 o'clock. We'll lead you all the way up to it. 6:30 first pitch here on DoubleT973 and DoubleT973.com. Hopefully your Tuesday is going well. 3 full hours with us as we are live from the First United Bank Studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. Love to hear from you there. 806-771-0973. Or if you'd like, you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, predictions for tonight. We'll take it all there. Take us anywhere with the mobile app. That is brought to you by Happy State Bank. And as always, we're streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, BPE behind the glass, Brennan Riker. Gentlemen, how are our collective Tuesdays treating us? I want you guys to average them out.
Mine's all right. Busy and... yeah, doing my deal and
doing your deal.
Just had a
Gus being Gus.
Yeah, cool side cool and the warm side warm. What was that thing Dickens used to do? But.
It was the not the DLT.
Yeah, it was the McBLT.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
Yeah, and it was the burger was split in half.
No. McDLT.
Was it the DLT?
Right.
McDLT?
Yeah, I'm thinking BLT.
And it was like bacon, one bun that had the cold condiments and the lettuce and the tomato. Mm-hmm. And then the other side had your actual
hot burger.
Hot side.
Yeah, and that was a, and if you go back to when that was introduced in the early 90s, mid 90s, the commercials for that were young George Costanza.
That's right.
Dancing through the streets and singing about it and all that stuff.
What I don't remember.
But anyway.
What I don't remember.
We digress.
Was it like, okay, so you had the two sections, right? Was there a lid on it, or you just have to like carry it around open like this?
But I don't remember.
How did that technology work?
I think it had a lid on it.
I saw. That's something you've said to me before, put a lid on it.
Double lid.
I saw an old ad the other day from like the 90s of a number you could call. And it wasn't like, because these are great. You know, and you need, I think these have an important role in society, but it wasn't like a suicide hotline or anything like that. It was a hotline that you called in literally just to cry. Oh, and that's all it was. And the ad that I saw was just people, there was no music behind it. It was like, are you sad? And then this first person would come in with this very fake cry, and it was like, call 1-800-CRY. And then it would come in with another person, different cry, equally fake.
It was a puny little weenie boy.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was very, it made me feel very cringy looking at him like, boy. You know, if it was still around, though, you'd have something to send your friends in fantasy when you beat them. Like, hey, why don't you call 1-800-CRI there, pal? Brennan, how are you?
Good. Trying to get through finals.
Oh. Well, how many do... What, have finals started already? Where are we at?
Yeah, I don't know. Finals started on Monday.
Okay.
I have one left, and that is tomorrow.
What's our last final? What do we need to help you with today?
Well, do you know anything about theatrical lighting?
Funny you should ask. That's kind of what we have here in the studio. So, you know, in the break, if you want to come in here, take a look, do some studying.
Certainly a theater in here.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's a circus. Hey, speaking of Lubbock Christian, the Fighting Chaparrals, Nathan Blackwood Shaps, win a conference championship, regular season title. First
one in the Lone Star, right?
First one in the Lone Star. They won two when they were in the Heartland.
Right, I knew that. Yeah.
Definitely the first since. And if you look at it, no one since 2014 had outright won the Lone Star, not named West Texas A&M or Angelo State.
Well, and that goes to everything that Nathan's always said during, and I'd say during First Pitch Lunch, and not that that's the only place he's ever said it, but when they first went to the monster schedule, you know, the 48-game conference schedule, and basically they're going to play their entire schedule as conference games minus those two, as you know. It's a, you know, 48 conference games and 50 overall or whatever, and you know, we'll be sitting there at the First Pitch Luncheon on whatever day it is, January 30th, and they're about 4 days away from starting, and they open with conference play. But it's they do that because if they ever created any sort of geographical division, the teams that are going to be lumped together are going to be the three that you just mentioned, Lubbock Christian with the, you know, WT and Angelo. And Angelo has been the rolling ball of butcher knives in this thing since it started with a national champ, you know, defending national champs, and they've won that thing and been the carry a few times for the D2 World Series. So anyway, and then you said this year's four seed. So that's 1, 2, and 3. And this year's four seed is UTPV, right? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, correct.
And so it's like, yeah, there's our West Texas even more. So, you know, this time next year, there's still going to be four votes of those guys going, no, we're not playing. We're not going to have some other division over there where they talk about how you know, they've got some conference champ and they're nowhere close to what we've got out here in West Texas in that conference.
Yeah, I think right now the way they haven't released official regional rankings yet, but some of the predictions, there's only one team from the other conference in the regional standings, and that's Colorado Mesa. So the other five that are in the top six for the regionals are Lone Star Conference teams.
Is it going to be up there, Ian?
It could be. So there's two different host sites. So the three teams really in contention right now to host WT, LCU, and Colorado Mesa.
And so that'll hinge on winning the tournament and kind of keeping yourself, just like the NCAA, like if Tech was trying to host or whatever, it still comes down to bid and seeds and all that kind of stuff. They can't get beat this weekend by St. Ed's and then expect to host or whatever.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. Okay. And that's the other news. One seed hosting 8 seed, that's St. Edward's. Would you say Friday night, 6 o'clock, Saturday 3, Sunday 1 if necessary. It's like super regional. Awesome.
So what you're saying is they're in the stage that would almost be called something like the final countdown. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97. I'm sorry. You guys were having a lovely conversation, and then I just waited to ruin it at the end. It is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3. Headlines coming up next. It's The Juice.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and Double T973.com. Time for some headlines. It is The Juice. We will start with what we have on the airwaves tonight. Suddenly, Gus, I wouldn't say all the way to monumental, but a very big game in a lot of respects for Red Raider baseball as you take on UTRGV tonight, and you're trying to bounce back from a four-game losing skid and a weekend that you didn't feel very good in Lawrence against the Jayhawks, UTRGV team that also took down Texas a couple weeks ago, or what, about a week ago? Really put it to the Longhorns. So you're trying to write some stuff. And tell you what, it's hard. It'll be hard to know really from this game continuing into this weekend because you're back at home. And as we've noted, that's been where you've played better. Although the last time you were here, it didn't go very well against New Mexico, but I think you'll see some good stuff tonight. But it's Bark in the Park.
Yes, sir. Zach Erdman towing the slab tonight for the Red Raiders. UTRGV will be doing a bullpen game.
6 o'clock after we're done, Jeff Haxton and Jamie Lent here on Double T 97.3. The Houston Astros, they will begin a series against the Guardians tonight. 640 on 100.7, the score. They're coming off 2 wins against the Rockies in a 2-game series there in Mexico City. And speaking of trying to right the ship, it has been a horror show for Houston to start the season. And they're looking to see if that little two-game series there that they won will maybe jumpstart them. You can hear if that happens tonight against Cleveland, 640 on 100.7 The Score. The Rangers are in action as well. They're coming off a series win over the Reds where they took 2 of 3. They are entering at 15-14. John Gray on the mound for the Rangers. You will join that game probably very, very late in progress after Red Raider baseball. That is a 7:05 first pitch between those two. Week 6 of the USTFCCCA rankings came out for Texas Tech Track and Field. Both teams have fallen back one spot and two spots. There we go. Had to do, really difficult math. Remember where they were. The men slipped one spot to 6th in the country, while the women went back two spots to number 11. Last week, Tech hosted its final regular season meet, and that was at home in the Corky Crowfoot Shootout. So up next, here comes the old Big 12 Outdoor Championships. That'll be in Waco. Speaking of postseason, Texas Tech women's tennis is heading to Los Angeles for a regional in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They are ranked 25th and are heading for the UCLA regional to begin the NCAA tournament as a 2-seed. Tech will take on the 3-seeded and 62nd ranked San Diego State Aztecs. If they win, you would assume that they would be seeing UCLA, who is very good. They're ranked 8th. They will be taking on the 54th ranked Denver. I don't know the mascots off the top of my head, so I should have just said 54th ranked Denver. Brennan's scratching his brain. Just going to give him a second. Boy, you were really thinking in there. Either that or you're about to pass out.
You're talking about the University of Denver? Yeah. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, all I know is they won the hockey natty a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so there you go. That's who's in their regional, though. Hosted by UCLA. They'll see Denver, and then it'll be you and San Diego State. And last but not least, Dallas Stars. They bounced back last night. I shouldn't say bounce back. They continued this series where the road team has won and have now won back-to-back to even the series at 2 wins apiece, winning this one 4-2. It was a 3-2 lead headed into the third and final period, and they got an insurance goal in there. And this series continues to be very entertaining. Although, if you were keeping up with the trend, it's going back to Dallas, so uh-oh, right?
Yeah.
If you're believing in trends.
All they've done is trade road wins. Mm-hmm. It happens, it feels like, in that sport, often.
You will see Game 5, and that was a joke. I don't think they're really...
It's like the
buying into... Can we keep this series in Vegas? You sure? We don't have to do any travel. We'll just stay right here.
And... Well, it's like the home teams are the ones under pressure.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I mean, in terms of like, you know, just the weight of the world on their shoulders. Feels like the road team's playing free and easy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You'll see that series continue tomorrow, 6:30, back in Dallas. Hit us up on the H Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions. Shelly asked, what has you so tickled, Viking, as Gus making faces? I believe I was laughing before we came into the show at your fake intro voice for talking for the Brewers.
Oh, baseball voice. Yeah, I don't remember what I said.
I'm pretty on the by the way, I showed you the cry hotline. It was a 900 number, and it was from the 80s. Yeah. This on the chat line. I'm pretty sure that's called the First United Bank hotline. Yeah, we have the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number's open if you do want to let out any emotions. Brennan's behind the glass. He'll take it all. He'll also take advice for theatrical lighting. We really want to make sure he gets that last final aced, right? By the way, are you feeling confident about this? Also, what does this class entail other than theatrical lighting?
So it's essentially what the class is. It was part of my degree plan, and well, actually, no, it wasn't part of my degree plan. It was an elective that my advisor, told me to take, and I took it, and I kind of don't know often what's going on in the class because it's theater, but you know, the teacher's a really awesome guy, and yeah. But okay, so theatrical lighting, basically what we do is we learn how to run kind of like what I'm doing back here, sliding slides, pushing buttons, except mm-hmm.
flipping
lights.
Flipping levers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Is there any like Phantom of the Opera stuff going on in the class? Like, if you ever see something like this taken over from a dungeon underneath the stage or whatever that storyline was, you have like a protective plan in place you learn in this class?
Not exactly.
Okay. I'll talk to the teacher. This on the chat line, I want to hear Gus say puny little weenie boy in an Arnold voice. and this from DPI, Bark in the Park, absolute worst idea ever. Oh. I wonder if they have dog allergies.
Because it's a brand new idea. I mean, they just tried it.
I like Bark in the Park. And then Robert said, I would like to hear AD's opinion on his so-called America's team. We will get to, by the way, some one-month-end grades a little later on in the program for all MLB teams. Of course, we'll just focus on the two that we cover between here on Double T 97.3 and 100.7, the score. But how much trouble, you know, are the Astros in? We've talked about they're waiting on some health, but they're digging themselves in a hole.
Mm-hmm.
But 9-19. You thought it wouldn't be like a hot start for them, but man, that this has been for a possible deep playoff run contender as close to a worst of a start as you could ask for if you're an Astros fan.
Yeah, and they're getting what's his name, left-hander threw on Sunday, so he's back and threw the ball well actually, Framber
Valdez.
Yep. And so, that's, I mean, it's way too early. I mean, the Rangers lost 20 of 30 in September and then mm-hmm. did what they did. And so it's way too early for all that. But yeah, concern. Absolutely.
You can't put a tombstone on them right now. No, but man, at a certain point, if it keeps on, I mean, you're going to have a lot of ground to make up.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Well, that hole gets to be Grand Canyon sized or Palo Duro Canyon sized. Where were you? McKenzie? Lake McKenzie?
Mm-hmm.
Silverton sized?
Yes, yes.
Silverton
yeah,
sized.
Yeah, right in between Silverton and Tulia sized.
Yeah, there you go. Lake McKenzie sized. Yeah. We'll start with that and we could revisit it in August, see if it's Palo Duro sized or if it's been reduced to, you know, Ransom Canyon.
Maybe they'll see a fox eating a bug like 20 yards away like we did this weekend. A little beetle snack.
Perfect.
Delicious. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, little Red Raider baseball on the other side.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Happy Tuesday to you. It is Optimum Game Day Live. We'll go all the way up to Red Raider baseball as they're hosting UTRGV. It's like alphabet soup when you say their name. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brendan Riker behind the glass taking care of us. Gus, you have the Vaqueros on deck tonight. It has been an absolute roller coaster of a season. We already did the conversation yesterday. Oh, hey, if the season ended today, would you be in the tournament? You still have a few weeks left in the regular season. But the result is, and I think the resounding result is, you would be very nervous mm-hmm. if it were already selection day. And UTRGV does not present a big RPI opportunity. UTRGV does not really represent, boy, if you win this one, you beat a great team and everything's fine.
No.
But it does present an opportunity to show that you can bounce back at a time that you really, really need to, even though, you know, they are a quote-unquote lesser opponent.
Yep. And, I would think the opportunity for those guys is viewed as a – I mean, I would think the game is viewed as an opportunity – get back on the field, get back on the field at home, and play somebody.
Well, that's and
get the misery of this weekend out of the way.
Seen the question going around, right? And it's, I mean, the math side of it is a valid question. And this was happening a week ago. Like, hey, should we TCU this thing and cancel that game against UTRGV? Find a way out for the sake of the RPI.
And these guys are on their way up to. They're at Abilene Christian this weekend, so that's part of how this trip came about for them. That they flew in here yesterday, play, and then bus down to Abilene for what amounts to a big series for them, and that's why I said they're going to bullpen it tonight. They're mm-hmm. going to throw a bunch of guys, and get a bunch of guys work, but not going to ride any particular pitcher because they are up against it in conference play. They've got to have wins.
So what do we know about the Vaqueros?
No, they're probably a little more offensive than anything else. They've got a guy with 14 home runs. I think he's a center field. By the way, they've got a former Texas Tech player named Eric Martinez, and I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. Eric might have gotten an at bat or some pinch running or something, but he was redshirted here 1 year and then was on the team another, but didn't, mm-hmm. probably some really minimal stuff. But yeah, he's a, I guess he's a fourth year player down there. And I'm not sure he'll start, but he's played a bunch for them this year. But their best hitter is a, 14 homers, 40 something RBIs, 330. They got another guy hitting 370. And they may throw some weekend starters an inning tonight. Mm-hmm. So we may see their best, but they're not airing anyone out. The guy that'll start for them tonight is, a guy who's been in their weekend rotation at the very early part of the season that didn't throw well. They sat him out for a weekend or two or whatever and, was trying to get him going again, kind of get him through his dead arm deal. So, but regardless, coach talked about the fact that when they played Texas and got into that game and had, had like, hey, we got a chance to win this thing. They left, I think he said their Saturday guy in like, hey, this game's going to mean a lot to our program and a lot to our history. We're going after this one.
Yeah, sure.
As opposed to just going, it's a bullpen game. And so they went after it and kind of put themselves a little bit behind the, put themselves a little bit in trouble with their weekend situation, their conference situation. But that game, on the road is a big deal. And he said, and his guys will be excited to play tonight, as you can imagine. It's a Big 12 opponent.
And I think you're in an interesting position right now if you're Red Raider baseball because, you've had the up and down year. You've had the just wild numbers in the difference of how you've played at home with how you've played away. A couple weeks ago or some, the discussion was thrown around of like, hey, could you play yourself into a one seed? And now it's like right back to find a way to assure sure. that you're in the tournament. And with that, and when coming off of a disappointing weekend that, started with a midweek game before with New Mexico here, you're suddenly right back under all of this pressure while also still trying to say, hey, defenders, batters, pitchers, you want your athletes to play loose and play the way that they know. You're trying right. to balance that together. And then you bring in a team that if you lose, it is mega bad, right? At the same time with the team sure. that, like you said, that's coming in with the mentality of like, oh, I can't believe we get to go play in Lubbock. All right. Like they're coming here
sure.
to come take you down. And so
yep.
I would think, they wouldn't say this out loud, but you're also going, okay, we need to focus and find our way into the tournament and assure a spot there. Also knowing that along the way you have a lot of things to straighten out while knowing Oklahoma's just on the other side.
Well, sure.
And then in a couple weeks you'll be on the road again with the Pokes. And so I'm very curious about the mental side of where the roster is right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Also with a lot of young players there too, sure, that are having to deal with this.
Yep, a lot of young dudes going through this for the first time, and you know, when you talk about somebody that's going through it, it's TJ right now is like one for his last 27. I mean, it's mm-hmm. Big time struggling. He's never done this ever.
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of guys haven't, and that's a key thing that I remember Dickens and I talking about something couple years ago with regard to a freshman, and it was like, hey, these guys haven't had their worst day yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of them roll through high school, and relatively speaking, mm-hmm. they've had everybody's gonna have some bad days or a little tough stretch or whatever, but TJ
Pompey's never
gone.
But it's hard on that level to have that exposed type of bad day.
That what goes with the getting pushed around and all that is you can go to a message board and see what everybody thinks of you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you did it in high school, you only had the answer to your, seven buddies and their parents or whatever. And so, yeah, it's very different, and it's no different for any freshman. But and I'm not singling out TJ. I'm just saying like that's what they're dealing with, and some dudes like that. You never know, man. The spark can come like that, but. Mm-hmm. It needs to happen, and they need to go command the moment. And it's about performance, no doubt.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Brennan was having a panic attack that we weren't talking yet.
Why? We should have just moved our mouths and not.
I wasn't going to step on Johnny Horton's toes, Brennan.
Born on this date, Johnny Horton.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thank you, Brennan, for playing that.
I'm so old. Like,
How old are you?
When we were good in third and fourth grade or whatever in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And after mm-hmm. You have a good day or whatever, teacher, like, play some records on Friday afternoon, mm-hmm. and that was one of them. Because in that on that record, he almost says hell, but he doesn't, and so it's like, oh, well, we can play that around the children.
He almost does. He thought about
yeah,
it.
He does.
Yeah. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brennan Riker behind the glass. Two more hours with us as we go all the way up to Red Raider Baseball against UTRGV at home, 6:30 first pitch, which means it's Optimum Game Day Live. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. If you have any tips for Brennan for theatrical lighting, he is very stressed about his final. I mean, he is like a ticking time bomb behind the glass. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, all that welcome there. Don't forget, take us anywhere with a mobile app. That's brought to you by Happy State Bank. Also, we are streaming live, as always, on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. Hour number two, we'll have a play of the day. We'll tell you what's going on. We'll get you a secret word. A little bit of everything. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. The old man says, if you question Coach Tadlock's commitment to players and team, committed to building Texas Tech baseball, listened to his comments on his show yesterday when talking about the transfer portal. Impressive. Any high school kid and parent would feel privileged to play for him and Texas Tech coaches.
That's exactly what he said. He remains committed to that. Now, there was also, I think it was this morning, I it was one of the text threads to this or 100.7, not this, but maybe this morning, 100.7, whatever. Somebody, not happy about that and how they don't do portal or, mm-hmm. Somebody else said, well, they never do NIL. I mean, it's full of wrong facts, but yeah. Think about the portal, like that's where McGee, now, happy to hear any opinions. Lord knows they've all been given about all the all that should be done differently. But Cade McGee through the portal, Morris and Birdsell. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's not right. Morris and Morris a couple years through the portal. Oh, Monteverdi is who I'm thinking of. Morris and Monteverdi through
Seton
the portal.
Seton Hill?
Uh-huh. Seton no. Hill, which is a D2 school. Yeah, and then
not Seton Hall.
Right. And then it was Monteverdi the first year, Morris the second year. Who was our left fielder, leadoff hitter that was so good last year? It was on base all the time. Going blank. But like a significant portal acquisition every year. And he talked about, I mean, it was an interesting point. It was a great question by Hacks and not anything that was in any way, shape or form was trying to put him on the defensive or whatever. It allowed him to like discuss how he, you know, wants to approach things. I think very much so with his
Nolan Hester.
There you go.
Sorry.
And Nolan was fantastic last year. And I don't know how far back the portal goes. Wasn't it like 2017 or whatever?
Around that time.
Yeah.
I couldn't give you the for sure.
That would be Morrell through the portal. I mean, that's one. I don't know exactly how you want to define all the portal stuff, but I mean, they've gotten some good players through that thing.
Because there's always been transfers, but the version of the transfer portal that has come to be what we know of it today when it officially started.
In the last two or three years is where it feels like we all sort of think about it, certainly as a post-COVID thing. But, yeah, he's I would – you know, he talked about it. He goes, there's no point in playing a bunch of freshmen and a bunch of young guys if you plan to go replace them through the portal. And so what I think our texture's getting at is, you know, was Tim talking about how, you know, they're bringing along Tracer, they're bringing along TJ and those guys. Mm-hmm. And so there's some growing pains at times and this and that, like, but by the time my instinct is that where he's going to be more open to portal acquisitions would be on the mound.
Yeah,
because I think what he would say is there's more room for pitching as opposed to if you bring in another shortstop and that shortstop beats out the guy you've got, or you're bringing in somebody who can't beat the guy out and then he's sitting. I mean, it's just like the whole. And so I think they're pretty selective about what they do through the position groups, but I think them and probably a whole lot of others are going to be keen to the arms.
And I think, you know, obviously the whole portal thing is just messy, because to me a perfect situation as you are trying to improve your team, and I'm saying this from sport to sport, which obviously you have to deal with different roster sizes and you know how you view it, like starting lineups when you get into between the difference between football, who has massive rosters and numerous guys on the field and sides of the ball, and then when in basketball, when you have five guys on the court, they're starting stuff like that, and then to baseball. I still think the one thing that carries over between all of them in a perfect situation is, yes, you are using the portal to fine-tune guys, but you're also still developing players. Now, the messy side comes with is you can say that, but then there's still players that don't want to be developed and are going to leave anyways.
Sure.
And so it's all just one giant mess. But I still think the best programs, and this goes from sport to sport, does a little bit of both.
Absolutely.
And it's not just we're leaning all on, and you can't trust that. We're leaning all on these guys that are homegrown, and that's just not possible anymore because somebody's going to leave. But I also think that it is a mess to go completely turn the roster over with like everybody if you don't have to, because you still, I mean, there's still a culture side in programs, like there's still room for that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir.
But unfortunately, as a coach, you're trying to figure out a way to navigate around some of that right now.
Yep.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3. And DoubleT973.com. Thanks for joining us. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brennan Riker behind the glass. We are taking you up to Red Raider Baseball against UTRGV, 6 o'clock here on Double T97.3. After that is all said and done, probably very late in this game, you'll join Rangers versus Nationals coverage. Over on 100.7 The Score, the Astros start a series at home against the Guardians. That is 6:40 on 100.7 The Score. Gus, you had news.
Yes, I did. The, we had Scott Drew almost going to Kentucky, depending on what you want to believe, right?
Right.
Well, Scott Drew just lost his assistant, Alvin Brooks. Alvin Brooks III, to Kentucky.
Yeah. That's the guy that had a huge part in getting, like, Keontae George there. Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting, because I think he's lost two assistants now. I think he'll be just fine, you kind of have former assistant here. He's done well. Jerome Tang, he left. Drew's still doing just fine, so... I think that not to compliment a bear or anything, but that's something, a testament to what Scott Drew has done over in Waco, other than just completely build that program up to a place it had never been. I really, really wanted to see what that looked like if he would have went to Kentucky. Like, is this just this is a Scott Drew school, or is this, Baylor could run without him sufficiently in the Big 12?
Yeah.
And maybe not even like, hey, this is a team that is expecting to be in the top four or five in the Big 12 and get, lottery picks, but can they run sufficiently without Scott Drew? And, he stays, so you really won't get that answer, but I think the assistant churning is a notion of, one, a guy that has been in a place for a long time as the head coach and then has also done very successful things there. Because typically when you're very successful and you have new assistants, it's because you're starting your own coaching tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right. It's right. A yeah, it's sort of a I mean, it's kind of a blessing. It's a it's an endorsement of what you got going.
We got this on the chat line. If we heard anything about Osabor.
No, we have not.
It's down to Louisville, Washington, and possibly returning back to Utah State. Brandon Garrison, Oklahoma State center, committed, speaking of Kentucky, to Pope's squad today, and that kind of noted that Kentucky is falling out of the mix for him. He hasn't had his visit on campus yet. I believe that is either later this week or maybe early next week when that's scheduled. I'm not sure what the date is, but he has a visit coming here, and you've got a pretty good percentage of when you've got guys on campus that you've wanted so far. Another one that you're in the mix for that has already had his visit, Elijah Hawkins.
Yeah, and that was in the last day or two, right?
I think that was yesterday.
Yeah.
The Minnesota transfer who would be a really, really nice piece to add. Point guard, really good assist to turnover ratio type guy.
Yeah, second leading assists in the country, I believe, at a Big Ten school.
Yeah, so.
Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Minnesota.
Yeah, at Minnesota, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how linked this is, but another one that popped in today, JT Toppin. A big one on the last day, by the way, of the
right,
spring,
for them to
spring
enter.
Portal. Right, yeah. Yes. To enter their name. So I'm almost curious at this point when you have these multiple windows and stuff, and when you get to the last day, or I guess I was whenever we were first seeing the transfer portal kind of develop to the stages it's in now. Hey, when is that push? And when do you see when it's last day, you get that final wave of just numerous names? But really, that happens day one. And really, on a lot of it, what do we see is like, hey, so and so plans to put his name in the portal,
right?
And then you finally get to the window starting, and then sure enough, they weren't lying; he's in the portal,
right?
And it's turned more into, you get a guy like JT Toppin, where it's like, you might get one really interesting name on that last day, one or two, but I haven't heard anything to round back to the question, you know, fully of substance for Osabor.
Yep, and that stuff's heating up, man.
Yeah.
In a good way, I assume. Now we, you know, still need players, need these guys. The JT Toppin one's kind of interesting because he's a DFW kid, and mm-hmm. that's Coach Buffington. You know, his all of his connections, and it was so interesting to watch him go through handshake lines, and I'd be lying if I told you I saw everyone, but you know, mostly home games, maybe a few TV games where that you could see that sort of thing. But he, you know, it felt like there was always somebody on a player from another roster that was not in any inappropriate way, but just coming over there like making it a point to get to him. It's just like handshake, good game, good game, good game. Oh, what's up, Buff? You know, big hug, that. Like, yeah. All right, because Coach Buff ran all that. You know, all the AAU stuff and the camps and tournaments and whatever all it was. And so
and that's why I think that, that will turn into a very underrated hire that will quickly get turned in. I think it was an underrated hire at the time. And I think in 2 or 3 years, if it works out with like the connection side of it, it's just like the same thing with the Sunrise Christian Academy mm-hmm. connection. Those connections with how you went about hiring the staff. And then I think, you know, Dave Smart was a great hire too. Although, you know, he's going over to Pacific to be a head coach. I think how you approached your first staff for Coach McCaslin was very progressive and like, hey, how do I need to recruit as a head coach now? Because it's different than what it was just 3 years ago. And those are the type of guys. Absolutely. And again, like the AAU connection, that goes back to, hey, just because you didn't get that guy in the first place, you're probably going to get another crack at him at some point. And he's going to be more developed when you see him.
Yeah, true. Don't burn bridges.
Yeah.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.